Chandu, the magician. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of White King Soap present for your enjoyment Chandu, the magician. Today, Chandu, master of illusion, offers you one of his mysterious and amazing tricks. Chandu calls this trick the Assyrian money changer, and it changes pennies into dimes. You want this trick? Want to mystify and entertain your friends? Want to be a magician like Chandu? All right, get that White King box top, send it with a quarter straight to Chandu, Los Angeles 21. And receive your first Chandu magic trick by return mail. What fun you'll have saying, "See this penny? I lay the penny on the table. Now I cover the penny with the mystic ruby block. So coot, I say. Then remove the block. Now the penny's gone. Instead, it's a silver dime." The trick is easy. So easy, a child can do it. But it is clever. So clever, it is very hard to detect. Start your collection of magic tricks right now with Chandu's Assyrian Money Changer. Just send 25 cents in coin and a White King soap box top to Chandu, Los Angeles 21. Be sure to print your name and address plainly. As a means of discovering the identity of the man who has taken the place of the sinister Roxor in his plot to gain world power, Frank Chandler is attached to the American consulate in an isolated Balkan country. Jan Metsos, the scheming foreign minister, is convinced that Chandler is resentful of being sent to this unimportant post. He offers Chandler a secret undercover assignment. Chandler accepts at the risk of his life. For one by one, the former agents of Roxor are gathering, and the time is growing short. Tonight, Chandler and the Regents have been invited to dine with the former King Pavel, now called simply Mr. Karowitz. As their carriage enters the driveway, Dorothy cries that she has seen, hiding in the shrubbery, the malignant dwarf they had known in Cairo as Arenye the Spider. Chandu, the magician.
I know I saw him, Frank.
Mother, how could Arenye get clear up here from Egypt?
That little shrimp to get through a keyhole.
Bob.
Frank, you knew he was here.
I hoped you wouldn't have to, Dorothy.
Oh, Frank.
But we can't talk about this now.
Roxor's men are gathering here like vultures. Who else is there that you haven't told us about?
Dorothy, you've got to pull yourself together.
I'm not afraid of Arenye for myself. Oh, all right, Frank, I'll try. Well, let's get out.
I'll give you a hand, Mom.
The whole evening's spoiled now. And it was going to be such fun.
Well, why can't you just skip it, Bet? What if Mom hadn't seen him?
But I did see him.
I mean, well, Arenye's been hanging around a week or so, and you didn't know anything about it. So
what I don't know won't hurt me or Betty.
That's truer than you realize, Dot. Come along.
Oh, isn't this a beautiful place? I'd love to see it in the summer when the leaves are on the trees.
Oh, I hope long before summer we'll be back in California where we belong.
One way or the other, Dot, we will be.
Good evening, sir. Mr. Karowitz is expecting you.
Nicholas and I have fallen into the habit of having our coffee here in the small drawing room.
It's very pleasant, Mr. Karowitz.
Well, I was sure that you found the dining room too cold, Mrs. Regent.
Oh, no. Well, we're not quite accustomed to your climate yet.
Your dog, Mr. Karowitz?
Yes. He's not usually so noisy, though.
Well, what kind is he, sir?
Well, the breed has an unpronounceable name, Bob. They're used as guard dogs by our mountain people. They nicknamed them Sokol, meaning falcon, because of their flashing mode of attack.
They must be good watchdogs.
Oh, yes, indeed. Milos was given to me as a pup. No, I can't understand why he barks so tonight.
Perhaps, like his countrymen, he dislikes foreigners.
Well, as a matter of fact, he dislikes almost everyone but me. Oh, although he seldom shows it.
Perhaps there's someone in the garden.
And that is precisely why Milos is... Oh, no. He's barking at shadows. But Nicholas must have the gramophone ready now.
Is that where Nicky went?
Yes. I thought you young people might amuse yourselves while your uncle and I discuss our dull business.
Well, I'll go with them. I know you and Frank would rather talk privately.
Where is Nicky?
Oh, he was going to move the gramophone into the ballroom. Ah, it's not much like the old days, when the gypsy orchestras competed for the pleasure of playing for our guests.
We'll have fun, Mr. Carowitz.
I hope so indeed, Miss Regent. The servant there will show you the way.
Thank you.
We won't be long, Dorothy.
Mother, did you notice how nervous Mr. Carowitz was?
Yes, but I feel better knowing that dog's out there.
He sounds like a lion. If I were a Renier, I'd get out, and fast.
It might not be a Renier at all, Bob. Mr. Carowitz wouldn't know anything about him.
This way, madame. Proceed.
Oh, did you ever see such a wonderful room? A million candles and two fireplaces.
Well, it's a good thing this country's full of forests, so they'd freeze to death. Hey, have you got any jive records, Nicky?
Wait a minute, Betty.
Don't tell me my petticoat shows. And I walked out right before the king's eyes.
Shh, don't speak of him as the king, dear. That servant may be listening just to hear what we are saying when we're alone.
Oh, dear, I'm trying to remember. What were you going to say, Mother?
It's about a Rainier.
Oh. Come on, Mom. Mickey's got some dance records, 20 years old.
We'll be there in a moment, Bob. Betty, a Rainier may very well come up to the castle. I can't see how we can prevent it if he wants to. He's like an eel.
I know it, Mother.
He may have been there already. It may have been a Rainier you and Bob saw on the stairs that night.
Who left the black magic image in my room?
Yes. Now, what I want to say is this. If you see anything else like that, or if you see a Rainier anywhere and he tries to give you anything, no matter how harmless it seems, don't touch it.
Oh, I wouldn't, Mother.
I hate to frighten you about anything, dear. There's nothing more dreadful than fear, but...
For Pete's sake, Mom, what are you and Betty doing? Plotting a revolution?
Oh, Bob.
Of course, you realize your consul and I are old friends, Mr. Chandler. Mr. Mason has been here 15 years.
Mr. Carowitz, are you sure we can't be overheard?
I am indeed. If I learned nothing else from the present regime, I learned deception. This study has been made almost soundproof.
By deception?
It was altered by an old peasant carpenter because the ceiling had become unsafe. And in the process... You see, I am being very frank.
And I appreciate that. I'd like to ask you something, Mr. Carowitz, in confidence.
Mr. Chandler, I am sure you know that Mr. Mason is most discreet. Nevertheless...
You mean he's been hinting that I'm something more than his assistant?
I have that impression, yes.
It's true, sir. And the time has come when I must know certain things before I can go on.
Ask me anything you like.
Thank you. Do you know of an organization working against the present government? Against Metzos? Oh,
certainly not. It would be useless.
What about the gypsy bandit, Esteban? Oh,
impossible.
Oh, nothing's impossible, sir.
Very unlikely, then.
Have his men always made these raids?
No. Not in force as they do now. For years, there were only a handful of them. A minor nuisance, no more. Esteban himself was thought to be dead.
But since Metzos took over the government, Esteban has come to life.
I hadn't thought of it in that way. But it is not strange, Mr. Chandler. My people are miserable under Metzos. If they join Esteban, one by one...
And yet you say you know nothing about it.
If I had been willing to see them killed, I could have told them to fight when Metzos came.
Then perhaps Nicholas is organizing them.
No, I do not believe it.
Metzos does?
Still? I told him it wasn't true, and I thought that he'd contrived Nicholas' disappearance.
He had, Mr. Karowitz.
He had?
I found Nicholas in the cellars up at the castle.
But Nicholas swore he had not been out of this house.
I told him to. You see, Metzos knows someone is plotting against him. Naturally, he suspected it was Nicholas.
I can understand that. Mr. Chandler, why are you here? You have Metzo's confidence, and yet Carter Mason says that you have also the complete confidence of your State Department.
Have you ever heard of a committee known as the Inner Council?
The Inner Council? Of course. I thought it no longer existed.
It was disbanded for a while.
And you are actually a member of it?
Yes.
Frank Chandler. But you are not the man who located the missing scientist, Robert Regent. By all the saints, your sister's husband.
Well, I'm surprised the news reached you.
Oh, Metzo's newspaper made a great story of it, ridiculing what the Paris press spoke of as East Indian magic. Ah, so that is who you are. Where is Mr. Regent now?
Working in a private laboratory. Mr. Karowitz, your country is the very heart of a devilish scheme. Unless I can find a way to stop it, armies will pour through here on their way to the Mediterranean.
Oh, God forbid.
And that's just the first step.
There is no way to stop them, even the Inner Council.
There must be. Once I learn who Metzo's chief is, we can act. We can help.
What can I do? I have no authority. I'm not even a puppet king.
You can help, though.
Oh, there's... There's something wrong when Milo sparks like that. I'd better send someone to see what it is. You know that I'll do anything I can, especially if Metzo's...
Nicholas! Come here! Nicholas!
Would you like to be a magician? Would you like to mystify your friends with magic tricks? Chandu the Magician has a magic trick for you. Chandu calls it the Assyrian Money Changer. It changes pennies into dimes. And we'll send it to you for just 25 cents and a White King box top. This trick is fascinating. Listen. You lay a penny on the table. Cover the penny with the mystic ruby block. So coot, you say. Then remove the block. Now the penny's gone, and you see a bright, shining silver dime. Wonderful, isn't it? And it's so simple, you can do it not once, but again and again and again. Your friends will never catch on. Now, to get Chandu's Assyrian Money Changer, just mail 25 cents in coin and the top from a box of White King soap to Chandu, Los Angeles 21, California. That's Chandu, Los Angeles 21. And remember, nothing washes like soap. There is no soap like White King. You'll love White King. Chandu the Magician is presented for your enjoyment every weekday evening. Frank Chandler is played by Tom Collins. The makers of White King invite you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu the Magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.